And also,
I don't know whether she lived in that neighborhood or not. I really don't remember now. That was fast. Thank you.
Oh, good. Oh, that looks great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for saving us.
That's fine. No problem.
Got onion rings and everything.
Yeah. Actually, I better. Yeah, so were you born in Savannah?
Mm-hmm.
May I ask
Sandy.
What year?
Sandy. I was born, at that time I was living on, my mother was in the thought of living at 37th Street, 701 West 37th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I was born at Telfair Hospital on December
14th, 1937. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would not have guessed, believe me. And so, as a young child, that was your home, the 37th Street neighborhood.
I lived over the store,
mm-hmm.
and it was a safe, beautiful neighborhood. The median was in the middle, the trees were just so beautiful. We had the azalea bushes down, you know, it was just really nice. In those days, as a little girl, I remember that 37th Street was known for its tourist homes,
mm-hmm.
because there really wasn't any big hotels except for the DeSoto in those days, and maybe a downtowner, but most of the traveling people stayed in tourist homes, and with the neon lights on, you know, it was just really a unique place to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle lived across the street. Mm-hmm. He had grocery store, and he and his family lived upstairs over the store. My father had operated a grocery store there, but had moved, and I believe when I was born, there was an A&T or some type of grocery store right there on the corner. I don't remember whether it was an A&T or not, but I do know that my uncle was across the street on the opposite corner with on 37th and Florence,
mm-hmm.
and he also operated a little grocery store. It was like a little corner grocery store. There was a barber shop, mm-hmm. and there was a drug store,
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, a package store, a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good wholesome place to grow up.
Was your uncle's store also Warshaw?
W-A-R-S-H-A-W. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't really remember the name of his store. Isn't that mm-hmm. funny? I just don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know his name was Sam,
mm-hmm.
and he, I don't know whether it was like a, maybe you could call it like a little 7-Eleven now,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a full grocery store that I remember. I remember he gave me candy bars all the time, and I would have to sneak them home.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would fuss at me all the time because Uncle Sam gave me candy bars all the time. But it was a safe neighborhood. It was a neighborhood that you could, that I, as a child, could skate up and down and not have to worry about it, know all your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people that came to visit or that came to stay in the tourist homes were regular customers.
Were they more like traveling sales
salespeople?
Then? Okay, not what we would call tourists.
No,
who were passing.
No, it was just like the regular, you know, they were regular.
So you would get
people.
To know some of them too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody was scared to walk to school because I went to school. I had to walk from Florence to, which is now Martin Luther King, which
mm-hmm.
was then West Broad Street, up a block to 38th Street School because that's where I went to school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, no, I mean,
no problem.
No problems. No, just absolutely no problems. And that was back in the 40s.
And do you, by that time, by the time you came along, your dad had already relocated his store to
right.
Broad Street, I think you told me, didn't?
No, my dad had relocated his store probably to Richmond Hill first, and then he came back to Millsby Lane Avenue.
Okay.
And Ogeechee Road and mm-hmm. open there. Mm-hmm. So we would never live that far away from the store, especially when he came back and located to where it is now. But now it's 52nd Street Extension. Mm-hmm. Everything changes, unfortunately.
You need to eat, so I'm going to turn this off. Yeah, there's so many significant institutions there in the community. Three schools, the Catholic School, Florence Street, and Kyler, very nearby. And then this hospital, which so many people are, you know, they still are so proud of, even though it's gone derelict now.
Now, the other one, like Georgia Infirmary, I mean, they've kept it alive. But the other one was so large, so beautiful.
The charity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was on
36th
Street.
So that was right near
I used to go and visit all the patients all the time and wave to them when they were on the porch. I guess that's why I went into social work, because that's my profession.
Yeah, I noticed.
Is because...
So that hospital influenced you?
Well, I think the neighborhood influenced me a lot. I think my father influenced me a lot. My father was the type of man that if somebody was out of work and he knew it, I don't care how many children they had, my father would call and say, I haven't seen you in the store lately. And they would say, well, you know, Mr. Benny, my so-and-so's out of work. And he would say, well, you come in and get the groceries. The children still have to eat. And I've always known him to be a very giving man.
I've had other people in these interviews comment on this about your father. They remember him so fondly.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's very sweet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I got my feelings for people from, was from my father. And my mother worked very hard right alongside of him. And I guess that's why I am what I am. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But and I was the last of three children, and I was very, very close to my parents, and always with them in business or listening to their conversations, or and they were very, very sensitive to the needs of the people, and they really didn't care whether they were black, white, yellow, brown, or what. People were people.
Mm-hmm. And so that certainly. You inherited that.
I hope so. I hope I did. Yeah, I hope I developed. I hope I inherited their non-judgmental attitudes, because they certainly were not judgmental of anyone because of their race or religion or anything. They were just there to help them and be part of a community.
Were they from Sudan also?
No, my father. Well, both of them were from Europe, but my father was from New York. And my mother, when he met my mother, she says, I'm not going to live up there. So he came to live here. My mother was also from Europe.
Okay,
my mother
so
came
they
here.
They migrated here from...
I'm first generation from Europe.
Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both came over. My mother was three when she came over. And my grandfather, I'm Jewish. My grandfather was the first kosher butcher that Savannah had.
Really?
So, and my father was a butcher too, but he wasn't, he used his skills in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that's been very interesting is to ask people how their childhood experience in that neighborhood, the influence of both their family and people who lived around them, helped shape them or influence them, how that influenced what they ended up doing for a career or interest in life.
Oh, it's odd that I should bring that up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I feel very strong that, but I know Sunday afternoons we would sit, when I was a little older, I think I was about 7 or 8, when we moved from 701 to 511 West 37th, I mean, my whole life, my whole childhood was really there. until I reached high school.
So
I think when I was in my, my whole...
37th Street, the 701 and the 511.
11.
Until
I was a junior in high school. So, you know, I mean, my whole life centered around... I mean, I knew the bus drivers that drove the bus. In fact, one bus driver knew I loved puppies so much that he stopped me a puppy on the bus one time. And, you know, they gave me puppies. I mean, everybody knew everybody, and it was just nice. You know, it was not like it is now. I know now when I drive through that area, I don't do it now, but when I used to work with senior citizens, and I was a social worker in Chatham County, and I would have to drive through 37th Street, the memories would flood back, but it was like, are you sure the door's a lot?
Yeah.
You know? And it's scary to think that a neighborhood went down like that. You know, and you really can't say it's because it's a black neighborhood now, because it was always a black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always, I think it's the times more than the people.
Oh, I think so. Thank you. Yeah.
So like you can't blame it on a race of people is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think it's the times.
Oh, I think so too, and so do other people, of course, who I've talked to.
I think most of the people that live in Savannah love it. I mean,
I get that sense, very strong.
It's
city
just,
patriotism.
It's just a part of us, and whether you breathe in the air too long or not, I don't know what it is, but we do love, I think all Savannians are very proud of the fact
mm-hmm.
that they are Savannians.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was so proud of the fact that I was from Savannah. When I had my children, I lived in Appling County. And when I had my children, I made sure that I came back home.
Really?
So that they would be born in Savannah. So they were born right here in Savannah. And so my children are Savannians.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Savannah is, it used to be, and I don't know whether we're losing it or not, but I think my generation and the older ones really do have a bond with it, because it was a close-knit community at one time. Everybody knew everybody. Of course, there are different socioeconomic status in every community.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hobnob with those that you can't financially afford to do. But
mm-hmm.
Savannah was such a unique community that everybody knew, even though you were not socially involved, you knew them. That there were Savannah families that you knew were good, and there were those that you knew were not.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah, to me, was always like a little melting pot, because they had a beautiful Greek community, a beautiful Italian community, a Jewish community,
mm-hmm.
and everybody helped everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's how I was brought up. Because there were very, very few private schools. And by me going to school at 38th Street School, even though there was segregation in those days, I really didn't even know it. Isn't that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and I really wasn't even aware of it until I was an adult and had mm-hmm. children and went back to school. Because...
Mm-hmm.
The respect that my father and my mother always taught me to have for people.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, I was never even aware of it until I went back to school in the late 70s
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden heard about the busing. And see, I mean, I skipped that whole era.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know about it. I mean, I knew about it. I read about it. But I wasn't involved in it.
And you knew that you went to an all-white school.
And I knew that
your friends.
I did. Yeah. And I knew that when I went to Morrison's, that it was an all-white cafeteria. And I knew that only the finest waiters were there, and all the waiters were black. But it didn't... I mean, now I'm saying that to you mm-hmm. in 1992. But back in those days, I was not aware of it. Now, I'm sure that many other whites were, and I'm sure the black community was. But I was never aware of it.
Plus, many of your neighbors were black. I was going to ask you to describe some of your neighbors, who they were, if you remember what they did for a living.
Oh, golly, do I remember? Yes, I do. I remember. I remember that I played all the time on Florence Street, and most of them are like little row houses. In fact, if you go there now, it's like little row houses, but big deal. I mean, I lived on the top of a store, so I mean, you know, they lived downstairs and I lived upstairs, so big deal. I really couldn't tell you what their families did for a living because I really wasn't interested. I knew that I liked the little girl or the little boy, and the little boy and the little girl like me, and we would meet and we would play. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a liquor store that was right next door to my house, and there was never any incidences that I can recall. I just don't remember that. I remember that we had a dressmaker that lived. Well, I could like crawl out of my back. I could crawl out of a window onto my porch and crawl into her porch, and Carolyn was white, and she was an older lady, and she was a dressmaker. That I remember. I know that when I started working in 1980, when I obtained my undergraduate degree, and I would go back into that community, that a lot of people knew me. The seniors knew me.
With the senior citizens.
I've never worked with any other population but seniors.
That was your area of special interest.
Yeah, I love older people. But they would remember me, and because of the trust that, I guess because of the relationship they had with my parents, that the trust was automatically there. Mm-hmm. And so that they would just tell me everything, all their problems, and let me help them help themselves, so to speak.
And color was no barrier.
Mm-hmm. No. Not then and not now. Mm-hmm. So, I'm trying to think. Memorable times on 37th Street.
Yes, that would be good. You can think of it.
I remember the ice truck coming down, Savannah Ice Company. They had an orange truck, and the letters were in great big black. And in fact, it was a black driver, and he would always let me get on the back of his truck, and he would always give me ice, and I would, you know, chip me off a piece of ice so I could have it with salt and suck it up. And any other kid that was around there, he would probably give it to them too, you know. But I do remember us hanging around the ice truck. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Was that one of the summer favorite childhood things to do? Yeah, what were some of the activities that you and your friends in that neighborhood, you know?
I think one of the favorite ones was hopscotch, because it didn't cost anything, and we could just always get a piece of chalk and draw it on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. We played with our dolls. And
were there any other white children around that you all played with, or... Or most of your friends in the neighborhood?
There was,
black children.
I'm trying to think. No, there were some from 37th and Florence East, meaning toward, this is odd now that I'm thinking about it, toward West 4th Street or Martin Luther King. 37th Street was all white. But going toward Ogeechee Road, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So it was like Florence Street happened to be the boundary. It's odd. I just never thought about it until right now. Mm-hmm. Yet 36th Street was black. Mm-hmm. until you got to like Burroughs maybe, and then it became white. So it was like everybody.
And then there were scattered white families even in the, across those borders, because you live across West Florence Street. Is that right? No. Yeah.
Well, I lived on Florence. I lived on West Florence. I was right on that corner.
Right, right on the corner.
Yeah.
And when you were growing up, your dad had a store elsewhere. Was anyone else renting the bottom part of your building? Or was it, you said you lived above a store. Mm-hmm. Some other occupant in the bottom of your house?
I believe that, well, we had a separate entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And when... See, I don't ever remember my father having the store there. I don't think I was born then.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there was an A&P there. I could be wrong, but I, for some reason I remember an A&P right there. Maybe Mr. Law would know. I don't know.
Not in your building.
Not
no,
in my building.
I mean,
on the store. The store.
Oh, in what
See,
used to
was,
be your store.
Right. There
okay.
was a store here. And there, mm-hmm. and like this was the this was Florence Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was 37th Street. This is Florence Street. Well, the store was like on the corner.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
People have talked about the A&P at that
okay.
location.
That's what it was. And then we had a little door just about this big, and you would just walk up the stairs to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then right next to that was a liquor shop. In fact, it was called Nicky's. And because I used to play on the top of the roof, and he used to get really nervous because he thought I'd fall off. Mm-hmm. If he walked up the steps, there was a window, and I would crawl out the window and play on, just like I would crawl out the window and go to Carolyn, I would crawl out the window and play on his roof. And then right next to that was Moore's pharmacy, or drugstore. I don't think they call it a pharmacy mm-hmm. in those days. They call it Moore's drugstore. In fact, Dr. Moore's son is still living.
He'd be a good person.
Oh, he'd be excellent to talk to.
Were they also a white family?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to interview some more of the white families who lived in that neighborhood. That would be really good.
He works for a pharmaceutical company. If you give me a few minutes after we get through, I'll think of his name.
I've been over to the Georgia Historical Society looking for information there, and one of the things I've been looking for are old photographs of the neighborhood. And they do have some of those tourist homes on 37th Street, and there's one in there of Warshaw's Grocery.
Really?
Yes, I thought you might like to know.
Okay.
I don't know if you have.
No, I don't. There is a...
I think it's the one went from when it was on 37th Street. I have it here. And I've been asking everyone I talk to for old photos, but I think in those days people just, if they took pictures, they took family portraits. They didn't really
take scenery
or buildings.
There was one... If I have any pictures. There was a museum that was between Martin Luther King Boulevard and that street.
I'm finished. There's nothing left.
Sure.
Thank you. That was good.
Glad you enjoyed it.
It's still there, by the way.
The Kaya, or... Yeah, I talked with Mrs.
Okay.
Kaya on the phone.
Now, there was a picture of my father in that building. So if you can find it,
yeah,
I would love to buy it from her.
Well, this
or get a copy of it or something.
Let's see where this is.
My dad was very well known in those days.
Did you tell me he at one time he also had another store on West, what was West Broad Street? That,
no.
I misunderstood that.
No.
He went from 37th and Florence to Richmond.
Well, he went from what I can remember, he went from 37th and Florence. I think we had a store in Richmond Hill during the war, during the 40s, mm-hmm. 45. And then he moved back to Ogeechee Road, which is now Millsby Land Avenue and Ogeechee Road. And it used to come to a point, and that was our store. And if you go down Ogeechee Road now, you'll see the First Union Bank, and there's a shopping center there, and that's still my, that's still in the estate. Because both my parents are gone now.
You know, it's so fascinating. I mean, your own parents probably escaped oppression in Eastern Europe to come to this country, and you have to wonder how that background made them the kind of humanitarian, you know, that shaped their views of
yeah, because my mom always talked about her uncle. She remembered as a child, she was only 3 years old when she came here, and she said that she could remember her uncle running across a field and the soldiers killing him. And she would run and hide, and how her mother, my grandfather had left first. And when there was enough money, my mother, my grandmother and my aunt was supposed to come over. And my mother wouldn't let my grandmother leave without her, because they were going to leave her. She was the oldest. And she said, please don't leave me, you know. And so they brought her with them. But yeah, I think I think your past has a lot to do with how you turn out.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find where I had seen. I remember. Oh yeah. See, this is in the Georgia Historical Society.
My
I have a picture
goodness.
Of you of Benny Warshaw's store at 327 Mars. Florence Street.
327.
That's what they have as the address.
It wasn't
wrong,
though.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's 701.
So everything in there is not correct. Might be interesting. It unfortunately, these photographs from
now. My father also had a store when they first married. My father, I'm going back to 1921, when my mother and father had their first store on Ogeechee Road, right across the street from the cemetery, and right in front. So it had to be like 30. No, the hospital was on 35th Street, not 36th Street, because I think that their store was on 36th and Ogeechee Road.
Okay.
And again, they lived over the store.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama said that she could remember the ether coming from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how people lived in those days.
Do you know, did they ever tell you what drew them to that neighborhood of town?
Well, my grandfather, my grandfather lived on 32nd and Whittaker. So see, we've always been West Side people. So when my father came in, my mother knew my grandfather and my grandmother could not, well, my grandfather was the butcher. Okay, and his place of business was in the old market. Place on Barnard Street.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother could not speak English,
mm-hmm.
and she ran a grocery store because that's all they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my mother, who was like 6 at the time maybe, she really ran the business.
She spoke English better than her parents. Because they came as adults.
That's right.
Right.
So she was the one that would translate everything from the salesman to my grandmother, the mother. And when she met my father, it was my mother who had already built a reputation in Savannah to get credit to open up another store. Because my grandmother, Europeans were different. They didn't give their children as readily. You know, they would rather close down the store than give it to my mother and father. So my mother had to go out and get credit on her own to open up another store. And so she knew that area of town. See, my great uncle also had a store on Jefferson and 36. I had another great aunt.
And this is mostly on, this is your mother's side of
yeah,
the family.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also had another, an uncle that had a store on, oh God, I can't think of the name of it, but it was a totally black neighborhood. I can take you to it, but I can't remember. Liberty Street. It's the street before Liberty Street, and it's like two blocks down. It's almost where the Greyhound bus station is
I
now.
I know where that is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then it's right there between there and Bay Street. Mm-hmm. So see, my mother's whole family lived on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I used to cry when I was a little girl when I got older, a preteener. Because all of my friends lived on the east side, and I was the only one that lived on the west side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, you know, this is where you live. We can't change it.
And then when you finally did move in high school or something?
I moved in 1950. I graduated in 55, so 53. We probably moved from there in 53.
Mm-hmm. To another part.
We moved on East 63rd Street. And so that was the wilderness. I mean, nobody lived
right.
there.
It wasn't hardly developed mm-hmm. very much then. You must have had mixed feelings about moving, or?
My mother hated it. She didn't want to leave because everything was in walking distance. I mean, where we lived, we could half a block, we were the bus. And we had all the city conveniences. Mm-hmm. And then my father bought a house. He thought he was doing us all a favor. Mm-hmm. We had no bus lines. We had nothing out there, you know. So we felt like we moved to the country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But all of the neighbors that lived, in fact, Mrs. Carp that owns Carp Motors right now, Annette Carp, her aunt lived across the street from us. That the I think their name was Greenberg. Mm-hmm. And they lived right across the street from us on 37th Street. And when we moved, they lived right across the street from us on 63rd.
Oh, so you took some of your neighbors with you.
Oh, we followed them. I don't know who did what. There's another person that lived on, his name is Harry Kaplan, and you might want to contact him. And he lived right on Burroughs and 37th Street.
Okay. And he's still in town.
He's still in town.
Mm-hmm. And was he an age mate of yours? Or
He's older than I am. I would say that he's in his late 60s, early mm-hmm. 70s now. I can't think of the Moore's name, boy's name, but I will before I get through.
Can you think of any other businesses in that part of town?
The Porzio's were there. Mr. Mincy had a gas station that was on Montgomery and 37th Street, and I'll give you his name when I look it up in the phone book for you.
Well, what did you think of back then, if you thought of it? Did you think that you lived in the Brownsville neighborhood? Were you familiar with that name at all?
No.
So you just would say, if you were in another part of town and someone would say, well, where do you live? How would you answer?
I would say I live on West 37th Street.
Right. You would say the name of the street.
Right.
So you were just not even aware that this was part of a Brownsville
no.
area.
In fact, when you told me over the phone, I
you
said, what?
You had asked me, right.
I know. I had no idea. But,
mm-hmm.
And in fact, when I was telling my friend about it last night, I said, I didn't know that I lived in something that would become historical, you know. But He had the most beautiful azalea bushes up and down the street. It's another thing that I can remember.
Someone
about
else had mentioned that. Yeah.
I mean, the median and the and everything was just so beautiful. I mean, it was like Mother Nature just came and endowed herself on the street. Don't ask me. And I'm sure that in my mind now it's probably more beautiful than it really was. But the azalea bushes were just always so beautiful. The city always kept things so beautifully cut back and groomed. People took pride in their homes. You could sit on your porch on a Sunday afternoon and greet everybody walking and going and doing. It was a busy street. I remember a lot of immigration was going on at that time with the Germans. A lot of Germans were fleeing Germany at that time during the middle 40s. And I remember that we had a couple who moved in, an older couple that moved in that were Germans, and everybody just tried to help out and tried to, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned neighbors helping each other. What were some of the ways that you remember people,
helping,
examples of how people helped?
If we knew that, if my mom knew that somebody was sick, I mean, the first thing she would do is we would go over to the house, and I would, I always went.
This was at black or white.
Didn't matter. I would, I always held on to my mother's skirt tail, literally, and we would go and we would see what they needed. But then if they knew that one of us, if one of the children was sick, which I was a child, it was nothing for somebody to walk into my mother's house and say, you go to work today and I'll take care of Sandra. I know you need to be at work. So it was that type of neighborhood. It was that type of helping one another. One hand washing another, so to speak. So no doors were locked. I don't ever remember having to have a key to get into my house.
Did you remain friends with any of those neighbors after you left the inn?
Yeah. Unfortunately, most of them are gone now because they were my mom's friends. There were not very many children for some reason on the street. A lot of people know me. And I don't know if it's because of the position that I've taken in the community.
Well, they all remember your father's store, all the old timers do.
In fact, it used to make me feel so good, because when I first started working as a social worker, the first thing they asked me at Senior Citizens was, do you get along with all kinds of people? And I said, yeah, I think I do, you know. And I remember going into Yamacraw, and this elderly lady was sitting in there, and she said, who are you, child? And I told her who I was, and she said, no, I don't want your married name. I want to know who you were. And when I told her, she just said, let me hug you, child, because I remember you when you were a little girl.
Really?
And so she wouldn't let me walk back to my car by myself. She called somebody to walk me back to my car. And I'm sure that it was maybe my mother's face she saw, or something in my face that was my father, you know. But I get that reception even now when I go somewhere that people recognize me. And I'm sure that that happens to my brother and my sister too. But I have always been, since 1980, since I started working as a social worker in this community, and I have been in every nook and cranny of Trenton County, I've gotten that kind of reception because of the recognition of my name and my face. And it makes me feel very warm.
And I'm sure a lot of people will also recognize your mother's maiden name, because her family
was pretty common.
Parents had the stores and so forth.
Well, my grandfather is known pretty well among the Jewish population because of the fact of him being a kosher.
That's surprising because there's been a Jewish population here since the 1700s. I'm surprised he was the first to actually
have a kosher butcher. Well, don't forget now, the first ones that came in was the temple, and they were not very religious.
Okay.
It didn't take until the middle 20s, 1920s is when... See, he didn't come over with Schechtel, you know.
Right.
So, in fact, my mother's people were the first to start the conservative movement here.
Okay. I didn't understand all these intricacies. And where were your parents from? Which countries?
Oh, God. I really don't know.
Somewhere in Eastern
but
Europe.
But it was Eastern Europe. And, you know, I don't, and that's terrible, but I don't know.
Well, you know, I think at that time, parents were so anxious to make it in the new world and to have their children be good Americans that was the past, and it was not that happy of a past for a lot of people.
And a lot of my mother's generations even changed their names when they came over because they didn't want anybody to know of their origin.
That was very common.
And I think that when I went back to school, the first time I went back to school, when I went back to Armstrong, I had never had a black professor.
That's right, because it was all segregated when you were in public school.
So I had, you know, all of a sudden here I am, an adult with three children, and I'm going back to school, right? And I'm sitting in a classroom with, you know, with black, white, Oriental, I mean, you know, it didn't, and in comes this black professor, and I thought, how am I going to handle this? Mm-hmm. And we started talking about, unfortunately, it was a history, not unfortunately, it was history, fortunately, it was a history class. Fortunately, a lot of feelings came out in this class, because it was another generation that here I'm sitting in a class with a totally whole generation. And they started talking about lynchings and, you know, and they looked at me, and I said, don't look at me. My families weren't here when this was going on, you know. You know, don't look at me. And all of a sudden, they then got a picture of, well, you know, they really weren't here. You know, most of the Jewish people, I mean, they were being...
appreciation for diversity among people.
That's right. And they, we were being discriminated against as much as the blacks. I mean, the Ku Klux Klan would kill us as quickly as they would a black
family. So in some ways, I guess the Jewish community, especially recent immigrants, felt some kinship.
There was a bond
there.
Always has been. Always has been. In fact, when I first started working at Senior Citizens, one of my best friends, her name is Frances Smith, she would always tease me because her family was from the east side of town and my family was from the west side of town, you know. And we have remained friends to this day. And we've had a 12-year beautiful friendship since we met. And we talk about the differences, the comparisons, and the contrasts in our upbringing. And we found out that there's more comparisons than there are contrasts.
And she, what background is she?
She's black, she's Catholic.
Okay.
And, you know, people are people. I mean, if you boil it all down, people are people.
Mm-hmm. But I guess as a young Jewish person during that time, you probably felt certain kinds of discrimination.
No.
Too. No.
No. And nobody believes me when I tell them that. My husband felt it. He was brought up in South Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, he could remember when there was, you know, no Jews and no dogs allowed signs. And that's why I think Savannah has always been such a special place for me, and that's why I call it a little melting pot, because I never felt it. Maybe it's because I always stayed within my own little cocoon, I don't know. I don't think that I was brought up in a cocoon. I believe that I was brought up in a nice city. But no, I was never called or never felt that I couldn't go anywhere because of who I was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to sunrise services with my Christian friends, mm-hmm. and I went on Easter egg hunts, and they would come to my house for Passover, and we shared holidays. And most of my friends that I went through school with, we talk about it when we have class reunions. You know, mm-hmm. we still talk about those days that my mother would pick them up and their mothers would pick me up and we would share holidays, and that's what it's all about. There is one God, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever attend any black church services?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Because don't forget, the churches were all around us. My father's first car, mm-hmm. he won by buying a ticket from a black church. And I think because of that, when my father could afford it, he built churches for the black community in Richmond Hill and Bryan County. Whenever he knew that a church was needed, he would see that it was built.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He must have felt some sense of...
Well, you know, he used to tell me all the time that most of our trade was black.
Right, that helped him get his
become
start.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it was only a mutual trust. Mm-hmm. People don't, well, in those days, people didn't spend their money with people they didn't know and didn't trust. Yeah, my mom used to tell me how she used to, you know, that everything came in bulk in those days. So they used to have to weigh everything up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what made everything so personal, because you would go up to the counter, and, you know, that person would get to ask you, well, how are your children and how are you doing? And you'd have this conversation while you would say, well, I need two cans of peas, or I need a pound of sugar, or I need 15 cent worth of cherries, or whatever it was. And a bond grew. And it's not like it is today when you go up and you ask somebody, well, you know, do you have any more lettuce back there? And they say, no, you have to buy what you got, you know, what's out there. So it's a different generation.
And also, I guess you mentioned your dad won his first car,
right,
his raffle from the church. I guess not many people had cars,
no,
when you were a child. So this kept them close to home.
Yeah.
Too.
I don't remember that car. I don't remember that car, but I remember the stories that my father used to tell me about. And he always told me that, you know, it was the mutual respect that he gave not only to his customers, but to they gave back to him. Mm-hmm. And that he always taught me that, you know, to say hello and a smile doesn't cost you a thing. So that's what I put in.
Well, this is...